marbles, you can either turn the connector 90 degrees, or you can even stack them. You can even turn them instead of shoulder to shoulder, left right, like we normally do for 12 volt power poles. Why not put them one on top of the other? So, with the pointy sides in the, facing in the same direction, if black is on top, it is a power source. It is a source of 5 volt power. And if red is on top, it is a device that needs 5 volts. And so that's what I've done with these, and I'll bring it by today, so or tomorrow, I should say, to the Farallon Club. But I hacked this little module for that purpose. I also hacked Carl's wall wart power cable so that he can either use the wall wart or insert this thing into a 12-volt bus environment in order to get this working. So it all works. It tests out. And by the way, his camera only draws about 0.26 amps at 12 volts, so it's not all that bad. So I think we've got some other ideas that if this thing was mated to a Linksys router, for instance, should you want to do that directly to the mesh, you probably could, you were running off the wall wart, there's no reason why you couldn't tap into that for the, tap into that lead and drive a second 12-volt source to give you power to the adapter, to the 5-volt adapter from the same wall wart, because the Linksys routers have come with 1 amp, they come with 1 amp wall warts, and they don't come anywhere close to using it all, not even close. So you could probably put the Linksys router and the camera on the same wall wart if you just, came up with the right connectorization. That was the other little finding out of this thing. So, questions, comments, confusions, please call K2BAR.
WA2UMP?
Hey, Jim?
Just a quick question. When you're done, what will the mesh network do?
It's a very good question. It does a couple of things. If you have access to the internet at one point or one or more points in the network, it will bridge you out. It'll find a path to an outbound, internet access and extend the network, wirelessly, so you can drop a bunch of these things like breadcrumbs, and they'll all talk to each other, and either daisy chain or through a grid get you out to the easiest way to get out onto the regular internet. Similarly, they'll also organize themselves such that if you have resources on that net that you want to use, that you can get access to those as well. So, for instance, this camera will become a network resource. We'll configure it on a particular router and on a particular port on a particular mesh router. And we'll once you define it that way as a named service, it will propagate to other entities on the mesh, and you'll be able to take your web browser and connect to it and view the camera. And if you have multiple cameras, you can actually have multiple displays going simultaneously in a web browser. I actually made a short movie last night, and I also took two snapshots of the actual power supply using the camera itself, and took those stills and emailed them to a couple of guys. I'd be happy to forward those on to anyone else who'd like to see them as well.
Okay, so it provides resources over a wireless network. Is the wireless network on one of the ham bands as opposed to a more conventional wireless network? Go ahead.
Very good question. These use the 2.4 gig Wi-Fi channels that we all know and love. And if you decide to do something really outrageous, outrageous, like do something that's not part 15, you have to stay within the first six channels. Because as it happens, the first six channels are in the amateur radio spectrum that we share with the part 15 devices. Actually, they share with us. If you're a non-ham and you don't want problems from hams, you want to be on channel 11 or channel 10.
Okay, thank you. It sounds interesting.
Furthermore, there are ways to use the regular internet to, to tunnel and bring these mesh networks together, even though they're geographically dispersed. There are other things you can do as well to take the net and extend the mesh via other kinds of transceivers. So if you have a point-to-point transceiver that you'd like to use, have duplex or duplex, doesn't much matter for your Ethernet traffic, you can certainly do that. People have experimented at 900, and, you know, 900 is a good frequency to play with, but there's a lot of stuff there, too, as you know. And so you might want to think about, you know, that and the fact that it doesn't propagate all that much better than 2.4. So if you decide to use 900 or 1200 or such, then what you really need to do is you still need a clear path. You still need to get your signals through A to B. So unless you have, you know, an amazing amount of power, a superior receiver, or some other funky modem functionality at those other frequencies, they're not going to offer you a whole lot more than what you're getting out of 2.4. We're running 79 milliwatts on these things because we all turn our power levels up to the max. And that's what the max Linksys will do. But as Noel will tell you, there are plenty of sources of 1, 2, and 4-watt bidirectional amplifiers out there, courtesy of the People's Liberation Army and their indentured labor in southeastern China. Anything else, Jim?
No, it sounds interesting. Thank you.
All right, so a lot of us will be at the Carolina Radio Club tomorrow, messing with that. After that, I'm hoping to take a few minutes and wire this into a mesh node or two. I have one mesh node here, and I didn't bring my other laptop up, so I got to go downstairs and get it. I did bring a second mesh node up that seems to have stopped working, which is very disturbing. It doesn't even light up, so I don't know if it's the power connection or something else that's gone goofy here, but I have one box that's decided to just not even light up. Gary, if you're listening, W2TTT-AP2, APO2, doesn't want to light up right now on any power supply. Can't say why, but it's just a G box, so I got to figure out why that is and sort that out too. But all good, and we'll certainly get that straightened out. But I want to get that defined on one mesh node, get the camera defined on it, and connect first across it one, and then I'll get across a couple here in the shack just to prove the point. Put the computer on one and the camera on the other and connect in. But works great, and so a lot of the other issues that came up with the other camera of recording and the like seems to have been solved with this, just a different brand, different manufacturer, who knows. Certainly different software, but nothing too extravagant. But we're real pleased. And what's nice is because it's a standard camera, it comes with quarter-20 threading both top and bottom for mounting the thing, so that's always nice, too. All right, do anybody else have anything they'd like to talk about? Okay, well, just the whole point of this thing really was to talk more about the 5-volt and 12-volt power adapters. You can see on the internet 3.1 amp or 3 amp, sometimes they're called 4 amp USB power adapters for your cigarette lighter, and they're real handy for charging tablets and charging phones and such. But the real jewel for me was the fact that I could extract out of this thing a connectorized 12-volt to 5-volt power supply that, you know, didn't have to do a lot of electronic monkey work to get working. Packaging, in fact, I could even probably repackage it in the same package, which is kind of ironic, which I may do, actually, for tomorrow. Tomorrow I just may do that and just run some tape over it just to make the point. So we'll see. Anybody else have any questions, comments, confusions on this or other topics other than that, please call KTBAR. Okey-dokey. Well, thank you very much, everybody. It's been fun. I want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of their repeater tonight. And look forward to seeing some of you at the Fairlawn Radio Club tomorrow night. Some more of you on Saturday at Westwood High School in Washington Township for the Ham Fest, starting about 6 in the morning. And then wish everybody a really blessed and peaceful Memorial Day. Remember why we celebrate it. Thank those who have served in our armed forces for their contributions to our freedom and the blessings of, generally speaking, a peaceful nation. So God bless everybody, and we'll see you soon. This is KQBAR W2 TTT. We'll hang around here for a few.
W2 TTT, KD2DK. You sure you're not just putting 5 volts in it?
Sorry, what was that?
You sure you're not just putting 5 volts into it?
Well, I'm very sure. I plugged into my 12-volt rig runner.
Okay, I was just teasing a little.
Actually, I got this idea while we're chatting to... I mean, I managed to open the case and not butcher it too badly, so I think what I'm going to do is I think I'm going to put it back in the original case. The only problem is I have to take the two leads that are on the, what I'll call, compromised USB port and... desolder them, slide them through the hole of the case, and then resolder them. So I'll do that, and also take the opportunity to put some heat shrink on it, so make it at least look halfway presentable.
Sounds like a cute little toy, then. Yeah. All right.
Why not? Might as well. I mean, you're not gonna believe this. I actually slit the thing with the saw blade of my Leatherman right out along the seam line, then used a screwdriver, the fat screwdriver, to essentially pop the two halves.
Yeah, I believe it. I've done it with a straight hacksaw blade, and some of the nicer plugs have a little screw. You take the screw out and they separate automatically with the rubber grommet and stuff. But they come apart nice. Sort of like taking batteries apart.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just waiting for the soldering iron to heat up. I should have heated that up a little earlier, but I didn't think about it until just now. I was like, oh, wait a minute, that's a real good idea, Gordon. Why don't you just use this case so you didn't butcher it too badly. You didn't leave a lot of plastic scraps around.
Yeah, so maybe in theory you could plug it right back into a cigarette lighter plug? It might be a little thick now, though.
You could certainly do that. In my case, I wanted it to be on a rig runner, but yes, you certainly could.
Very nice.
What's nice about it is it still leaves you with a USB port.
Yeah, they come in handy in the car. I have one of those cigarette lighter expanders that'll give me one for three for one or whatever, and it's got a USB opening on it too. As a matter of fact, I got two of them because I take one for three for one and then three for one again. No.
Yep. Yeah, my son was just saying goodnight. Love you too. Came up here. My son comes to give me a goodnight kiss every night. Unless he's, like, totally wiped, in which case he just crawls off the bed. But he came up in positive mood, irrespective of the fact that the Rangers won. Not many Ranger fans in my house. Read zero.
That's all right. The goodnight is better than any game anyway. Very nice.
Yes, but he gets pissy when the team he roots for is not winning.
I think, to some extent, everybody does.
Yeah, but you don't have that 15-year-old male testosterone rage thing going, you know?
Well, like I said, extent. You know, as you get older or something, it tends to mellow a little bit, and, at a 15-year-old age, it may be at its pink, like you, peak, like you're saying.
Exactly. Exactamundo. Need to get some larger heat shrink. I have some 1-inch, but I don't think it's big enough. But it will not go off. I mean, I have a ton of 1-inch, and I can use a 5-foot piece of it, and they're just not quite big enough to stretch around the back of a pair of power pole connectors, which is a shame. Yeah, let me solder here for a few minutes. I hear somebody up on 442. I heard somebody on 442, and it wasn't one of us. Amazing. Okay, good. All right, so I'm going to hang here for a few minutes. Let me just get my fingers dirty here, and I'll get this squared away. I'll be right back. W2TTT.
Yeah. W2RKG or something? That's what I thought I heard, too. 82DDK.
W2TTT on 955.